thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
I'll call them big thoughts, but the bar's pretty low these days, so we'll do the best we can. Hi, it's John. We're at the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3, and on Saturdays, that means tomorrow, we're on the air from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right after Mixer Fix It. That's Lou Manfredini. He'll fix it, and then I'll come on and break it. President continues to talk, and I believe that Mike Pence, the vice president, is about to speak as well. Since nobody knows what his voice sounds like, it might be interesting to hear what Pence has to say.
And some judge from the Ninth Circuit, here we go again, upheld it.
The president, he's sort of airing his laundry list of aggravations about the way things are going. He's not getting what he wants from Congress, especially now. So he's kind of been all over the map. You heard some of him in the news a moment ago. But let's just catch up on where this is.
Begin on larger immigration matters, having to do with DACA, having to do with other things. So that is taking place. We may add a few things onto our discussions over the weekend. But I'm going to ask Mike Pence, and then I'll have Leader McCarthy say a few words, and we'll take a couple of questions. But we're very proud of the jobs and the job numbers. That was incredible.
Dow's up 716 points right now.
If we can have great border security for the first time in really the history of our country. The southern border is a dangerous, horrible disaster. We've done a great job.
He went on a great length also during the news. I'm trying to remember now, Eric, if this was during the news or after the news. That is after you cut away. But just to continue to describe the mules, the people that bring drugs or children.
The coyotes, yeah.
The coyotes that bring the children in, and the sort of violence that women and children face en route or on when they cross over.
We are nearly 2 weeks into a government shutdown.
Mike Pence.
But our nation is also in the midst of a crisis on our southern border. And today, President Trump convened for the second time this week Republican and Democrat leaders from the Congress.
Pence is heading up a group that will meet over the weekend with the Democrats. So that would mean Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, among others. And Pence is maybe going to take the lead on this more so than Donald Trump. Lord knows he's had some sit downs with the other side. Those have not been fruitful. So maybe there'll be some sort of conciliation if there are different players in the room. So we'll continue to listen to that in the newsroom and follow that story here on WGN Radio. But we are going into the weekend without much expectation that the government will be back to work, maybe Monday. But the president actually, according to a tweet from somebody, you know, you scroll through all of your media and it's hard to remember what you saw where. But one of the quotes was, the president said he's willing to shut down the government for years, which is a measure of resolve. You know, that's not really what he means, but it does sort of speak to his resolution. And yet Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, is there anybody's doubt in anyone's mind that we are not firm in our position too? So there you are. And if you are one of the 800,000 families who ain't getting a check, it sounds like you ain't going to get one anytime soon. It's 1:16. The big story in Chicago, of course, is Alderman Ed Burke. Good grief. And what were the 23 guns doing in there? He's out on $10,000 bail. One of the attorneys that was there watching the scene unfold is also a podcaster here at WGN Radio. And our mincing rascal colleague, Kristen McQuarrie at the Tribune, had a really cutting tweet about this. Those two people talk about Ed Burke next on WGN. Joining us in the studio now is Rich Lenkoff. He hosts a podcast here at WGN Radio. What's the title of that podcast? Legal Face-Off with...
I co-hosted with Tina Martini.
I got to be on it recently, did a terrible job. I hope you invite me back. I will be more studied next time.
You were the king, as always. You
guys rifle through a whole bunch of interesting, topical, law-related stories. You're a private practicing attorney, too, right?
That's correct.
Were you at the hearing yesterday?
I was. I was sitting right behind Alderman Burke in a only sort of packed courtroom. It wasn't as busy as we thought. But, yeah, I was sitting right there, observed the whole thing, lasted about 10 minutes.
Alderman Ed Burke is stepping down from this powerful position as the City Council Finance Committee Chairman after being charged Thursday with attempted extortion, according to Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. That was his announcement this morning. That's no news from the mayor. I'm reading from Bill Ruthart and John Burns' column in the Chicago Tribune today as well. 51 years, Burke has served on the city council, which I think is about 40 too many. I don't think anybody should be in office that long. And I agree with Eric Zorn, my colleague here, who says that if you're going to have term limits, at least have them for positions of authority. You can't be the chairman of the committee, or you can't be the Speaker of the House or something like that forever and ever, but he virtually has been. He's charged by federal authorities with attempting to extort the owners of a Burger King franchise in his ward. Burke allegedly sought tax business for his private law firm, and he wanted campaign donations in connection with permits that the restaurant owners needed for their renovation. So what happened in the court yesterday?
So it was a preliminary, it was basically an administrative hearing where Judge Finnegan read the charges from the complaint to Alderman Burke, made sure he understood them. She also read him his rights. You know, he is now under arrest. He can still be interviewed by the authorities. So she read him his rights, which, you know, you see always on TV, but pretty interesting to see with a sitting alderman. He had very limited responses, mostly, you know, yes and no. He indicated he understood the charges. There was this discussion that's now, you know, quickly becoming infamous about the amount of guns in his two offices. There are 23 guns that the judge ordered that he destroy in the next 48 or now 24 hours. And that was it. It was fairly quick. His demeanor was fairly, you know, low key. He was very respectful. I think he was somber. I think he was also embarrassed.
He's also famously said that he's been down this road before. Maybe not this road, but this isn't the first time authorities have looked into him, and he's always come out clean. Krista McQuarrie has been tweeting and talking and writing about this, one of the editorial writers at the Chicago Tribune and a sometimes columnist over there who's joined us on the Mincing Rascals podcast, too. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, John. Hi, Rich. I'm great. How are you?
We're doing well. What was your reaction, or is your reaction, to all of this, Kristen?
I mean, it's stunning if you read the criminal complaint, that you have someone who was just very blatant on telephone calls saying things directly to his ward associates and to this business owner, saying, here, I'm quoting from the complaint from Burke, "We were going to talk about the real estate tax representation, and you were going to have somebody get in touch with me so we can expedite your permits," end quote. So, I mean, you have an alderman in a couple different places during this complaint just overlapping his official role as a city official with his private law practice. So it's to me, it was a step further than, say, the Blagojevich complaint, where he was kind of talking in his living room, demanding a lot of stuff, a lot of huff and puff, but there was never really a furtherance of the act. And here you have a very explicit ask repeatedly over the course of about 8 months.
Is that what you heard, a quid pro quo?
Yeah, over and over again. As you mentioned, he is pressuring these business owners to trade access to these permits in exchange for, you know, work that would directly benefit his law firm. I mean, it's baffling how this continues, how someone could be as brazen as he is. I think, you know, the Barbara Bird Bennett case was maybe a record in that she wrote in an email, "I want money for my kids' child fund or kids' college fund." This is almost as brazen. I mean, over and over again, he is pressuring these people to give him work. And I'm also shocked by the fact that he's the one making the calls. I mean, you would think an alderman with
right.
the stature of, you know, Ed Burke after 50 years would have people. He's literally picking up the phone and, you know, shaking down these people, if you believe the allegations.
You feel that way too, Kristen?
I do. I mean, I think it just shows that, you know, he really... I think there's a lot more to come. I don't know that this is really the first time that Ed Burke has been so directly involved with a driveway permit. I mean, if you really boil this down, it's just a real pathetic representation of what it's like doing business in Chicago.
It's so pedestrian to me.
We are talking about a Burger King driveway and an alderman trying to extort money, allegedly, from the owner.
How absurd or ridiculous. Insert your favorite word there, that... if that brings him down, it's a Burger King driveway, for crying out loud.
But, you know, to that point, and it's a great question, why would the federal government be this involved in this minor issue? And is this all they took out of, you know, weeks of the evidence they took from his raid? The answer is, listen, the federal government would rather get a win on a small case than, you know, swing for the fences on a bigger case. This is a direct cause and effect, if you believe the tapes. And I think, to your point, Kristen, it shows the pathetic attempts that some elected officials will go to enrich themselves at the public trust.
It's such small potatoes. Do you all think there's other charges or allegations that will come? That is, suppose he beats the Burger King rap, then is he okay, or is there more to this than that one instance?
I think there's more. I mean, the prosecutor in court yesterday said that investigation continues. I think that one of the reasons the complaint laid out the detail that it did is to, you know, maybe flip Burke, you know, maybe get him to...
For whom?
Who knows? Maybe there's more people involved.
He's as far up the tree as you go
correct, but, you know, he's been mentioned in the Trump probe. Of course, his company, you know, his firm did some business with Trump. Who knows if there's more to it?
Kristen, do you... go ahead, Kristen. You're about to say something. I have another question, though, but go ahead.
Sure. No, I was just going to say that I was just trying to work out a timeline. The complaint is sort of, it sort of jumps back and forth between all these dates. But if I'm reading the timeline correctly, at the point where Burke sits down with this business owner and does the official first ask about, hey, I do this property tax business, the feds were already following him. They already had been, and isn't this so cliche, they followed him to a country club where this lunch was taking place, and they figured they were in the right place because there is a Lincoln Town car or something idling in the parking lot. I mean, it's just so cliche of this culture and the city and Alderman Burke and his wrist cuffs and all of that. But they were so. I do think there was something that preceded this shakedown, allegedly.
Do we know
because they were already on his tail?
Do we know who tipped off the feds? I mean, who made the complaint? Is it the Burger King owner that said,
yeah,
hey, I'm being shook down?
Yeah, I think it's the alleged victims.
And why do they, I mean, that's what happened maybe with Blagojevich and the Children's Hospital. Why do they not think that the people that they're extorting, allegedly, won't avail themselves of justice, will reach out to the police or the FBI? How do they think that they're going to get away with it? I don't understand that.
Well, I think the victims, and some of this is referenced in the complaint, think that that's how business is done in this city. You know, Burke says, we'll come down to Chicago from Texas. This is the way we do things. I think they think it's the price of doing business, and they have to, you know, play ball or they won't get their license.
Yeah, I'm still torn on whether this was the tip, because like I'm saying, that if you go through the complaint, there are different points where they're kind of playing along and dragging out actually giving his law firm business, but the first sort of shakedown, at least that they describe in this complaint, the feds are already listening to his calls and they're already following him. So I don't know. I mean, it could be, we do have a board of ethics in the city of Chicago, and maybe a complaint from somebody else who experienced this came through and gave them enough of a judge to authorize a wiretap of his phone.
Don't you suppose this empowers other people who have similarly been exercised, extorted? Don't you allegedly, but don't you suppose this is going to give other people some ammunition or some motivation to come forward? Daniel Biss wrote on Twitter, Chicago political observers are stunned that Ed Burke was so sloppy as to attempt extortion in a way that's traceable. They're pretty shocked that he had 23 guns in his offices. Of course, nobody seems at all surprised to learn that he attempted extortion, to which Kristen McQuarrie tweeted, do you mind if I quote you, Kristen?
Go ahead, it's public.
He was celebrated and worshipped and ass-kissed for his money and his influence by all of you until today. So maybe sit this one out. Daniel Biss. Kristen, what are you up to there? What's that all about?
I find it really just so lacking in courage that you have all these people piling on as soon as the butcher paper went up in his office, and then when the complaint finally comes down, now everyone is willing to talk about him, where someone like a Daniel Biss, who was running for governor not too long ago, I'm sure would have accepted a fundraiser held at Burke's home, would have accepted campaign contributions from him, any help he could have done to have bundled money for his campaign or offered an endorsement. Or this is an establishment that has ignored and looked past what we've been writing about. I mean, we've been calling for Burke to be removed from the Finance Committee since the early and mid-90s. And so for all these people, now that he's weakened, to come forward and start calling for his head, I just think is so lacking in courage for all the years that they tolerated it.
You guys are out of time. Rich, you did say, though, I'm just responding via a texter, Did you say destroy the guns? Do you mean, what do you mean by destroy the guns?
Literally, I mean, get rid of them. And in most cases with a felony charge of this kind, you have to destroy them. I mean, I
destroy,
think
destroy, turn them back over to police. I mean, destroy, I don't know how you destroy a gun.
Yeah, I mean, turn them over to police in this case would
you
be
no
sufficient.
Longer will own them.
Yes.
Okay. And the 23 guns thing is strange, but I presume they were legally owned?
You would think so. I mean, some reports say that six of them were long guns, you know, so who knows why you would need that many.
I don't know.
Yeah, strange.
He was also a police officer, too. So
it was 51 years ago, he was, yeah. Okay, thank you for that, Eric. Rich, folks want to listen to your podcast. How do they find it?
It's on WGN, on Legal Face-Off. We are taping momentarily. We've got Gary Chico calling in a couple minutes.
When will we read you next in the Tribune, Kristen McQuarrie?
I am working on an editorial about this case that will be posted probably later this evening.
Follow the Chicago Tribune at chicagotribune.com under the opinions section. You'll find those editorials. Nice to hear your voice, Kristen. Stay well.
You too, John. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you being in the studio.
Thanks, John.
Mexico will be paying
for
the wall. Can you describe in detail the
president is taking questions now.
Trade deal that
well, you're going to be
Mexico
seeing it very soon. We made a new deal, a new trade deal. NAFTA has been one of the great disasters of all time, probably the worst trade deal ever made, maybe. We lost millions of jobs, thousands and thousands of companies. NAFTA left our country dry. NAFTA was a disaster. I campaigned on either terminating or renegotiating NAFTA. And Bob Lighthizer and Jared Kushner and a whole group of people did an incredible job. They did an incredible job. And now we have a deal that's great for our country. And by the way, good for Mexico, good for Canada also. As you know, it's the three countries. We will be taking in billions and billions of dollars more money for the United States, including jobs, including companies that won't be leaving us anymore. And
that's how Mexico is going to pay for it. The president continues to answer questions and just have his way at this press conference. And by have his way, I mean, I think the president, however hostile or contentious these things get, rather enjoys it or likes the stage. I believe this is the platform at which he works his best. And so when he gets an opportunity to go, he does. These things sometimes run long. The last time he spoke to the press, it wasn't that long ago. He went 90 minutes. Remind me, when did Barack Obama or George Bush or Bill Clinton go that long with the press? The president will. And he looks like he's digging in right now. So we'll continue to monitor this in the newsroom and keep you posted on how that is going today. Here on WGN Radio, it's 1:39. This is John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. So we've turned the calendar. It's a new year. It's 2019. One of my favorite books, it's an annual book, is The World Almanac and Book of Facts 2019. I like the analog version. On a phone line right now is the senior editor, Sarah Jansen. Sarah, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you? Tell me a little bit about, I said I like the analog version. Do you guys do an online version of this, or is this really a product that you still sell as a paperback?
Well, definitely most of the sales of the World Almanac annually are still the paperback. I think there's something that people just like about having a book like that that is a historic product in their hands. But we do also have an ebook edition. We have a subscriber edition that you can access through any web browser. And then we also have, of course, our social media accounts, which have more fun, daily, engaging facts on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, no kidding. You know what? I don't follow the Almanac that way. Should I?
You absolutely should. We've got really fun themes on Instagram. We do, you know, special posts for different days of the week that I think people really enjoy. We always do Four-Legged Friday, so either cute animal post or historic historic animals and art. Really fun sort of thing that we can do to make the Almanac content a little more engaging.
That is such low-hanging fruit. You do happy animals on Fridays, and people love
100%,
to look at,
oh, shamelessly.
I kid some of my colleagues sometimes on the TV side. I said, hold up a puppy. You know, the world world is so hard right now. Just put a puppy on TV and I'll watch your dang show. Good for you.
Well, but I do have to say, most of our daily posts are more historically themed, like on this day in history sorts of things that I think people really enjoy engaging on, too.
I want to kind of walk through the book a little bit and just remind people of some of the facts and anecdotes that are in there. And just, I'm sincere when I said I really, really, really like the Almanac. And one of the reasons I do the World Almanac and Book of Facts 2019 is that I know I can get all of this information online. If I wanted to know what the, I don't know, presidential approval rating over the first years in office back to 1989 to the present it has been, or the immigrants apprehended and removed or returned by the U.S. since 1940 on a chart so I can see how we're doing, or if I wanted to see what the flag of Lithuania was like, I could find all of that. But I would probably go find that. And it's unusual that somebody would say, oh, what about this? Completely off topic. And that it's all sort of before you. And so you find yourself going in directions you might not anticipate. And some of it is old information that you sort of reacquaint yourself with, and some of it is brand new. But that's sort of the value of a book in your hands, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think you put your finger right on the reason that so many readers still pick up a new copy of the World Almanac every year. And there is something to that sort of unguided but serendipitous exploration of a book that has so many different topics in it. You can just flip to a random page. You're not necessarily going to get that with your, you know, curated social media feeds, or when you're looking at the sections of the newspaper that you happen to prefer looking at. You know, we've got a bunch of different subjects that we cover. Depending on how we count, we've got about 80 to 100 subjects that we cover, so you'll always find something that you might be interested in that you wouldn't necessarily think to Google or look up for yourself.
And I understand the logic of curated digital media. For instance, I'm looking at a picture from 1903 of Orville and Wilbur Wright flying at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. If I did that online, then I would get historic photos about aviation, maybe, but it wouldn't tell me about U.S. student loan balances. And when I turn about 50 pages, I'm looking at what's happened to student loan debt since 2004. And that's a very interesting graph. So here again, it's sort of the, as you said, serendipitous approach to information that's opposite the way we do things these days, that is really almost quaint, but really interesting about the Almanac.
Yeah, if you're a generally curious person about the world, I think that you're going to find that there is something that the World Almanac that can introduce you to that you might not have thought to look up for yourself. But then you also find in the World Almanac a source not only of the information that you're being introduced to, but with that information we also include our sources for every table or chart or graphic in the book. So then you can maybe do further research if it's something that's kind of piqued your interest. You can then, you know, go to a second screen, as they call it, and do your own research on a new topic.
Yeah. You know, it's also fun to me, too, is looking at the flags. You know, I said to my wife, I said, hey, Brenda, what flag is a red vertical stripe, a white vertical stripe, and a green vertical stripe? I started to describe the flags to her because, you know, Italy is a little like France, and then there's some that you think you recognize. So we were just quizzing each other on these flags. For instance, the flag of Russia, I think, would surprise a lot of people because in your mind you have the old Soviet Union flag. The Russian flag might be an eye-opener to you. So it's just kind of fun to thumb through that. I love the flag section in the Almanac.
I love that section, too, and there are always a couple that change every year, believe it or not, and not just because of a big event like the Soviet Union transitioning to Russia and then the former Soviet republics. You also have, this year, I think, the main one that changed was Mauritania, and I'm not sure what the motivations for that were. There wasn't a revolution or anything like the end of the Cold War that I'm aware of, but there are always a few of those that change every year, and I think that's one of the things that the World Almanac editors are keeping an eye on that maybe you're not finding time for in your day-to-day,
right,
but we're,
right,
we're staying on top of it for you.
And you would never think to go, oh, I wonder what the old Mauritania flag looks like these days, but it looks like a smile face, you know, a one-eyed smile face on a green background with red pinstriping. How's that sound? at least that's my description of it. You'll have to look it up or buy the book to see it. What are the things that people are most interested in when they do look at the World Almanac?
I really think it depends on the person, for sure. You know, we have World Almanac fans that tell us that they only look at basically the last 150 to 200 pages of the book because that's where the sports statistics are. We have other people who tell us that they love it for the astronomical data, when the eclipses are happening, what morning stars are going to be in the sky, when the sun isn't quite up yet, that kind of thing. We also know that people just like to have it around for looking up, you know, if there's a nation in the news. We've got a brief history and statistical information on 196 countries and some other affiliated territories. We've got an entry in every state on every city larger than 100,000 people. So, you know, the World Almanac is covering all of these different topics and putting it right there in one place for a quick reference.
You know, Jack Kemp for the LA Chargers in 1960 rushed for So that's what you do, though. You start to look through these. If you just randomly pull up some old statistics, you find yourself thinking about and remembering some of these games or stories or teams or players. I'm in the back 150 pages. Do you have a favorite anecdote section or revelation yourself in this book?
It would really be hard for me to choose one favorite. I do have to say that one of my favorite things to put together with the editors every year is the offbeat news stories, because we spend so much time looking at serious information, statistical information, you know, following the serious side of news events over the course of the year, that the offbeat news stories let us be a little silly, let us give us an excuse to, you know, take a break from the serious stuff for 5 or 10 minutes a day and actually track some of the stories that just make you laugh, make you smile, enjoy a few minutes of levity in an otherwise mostly serious work day.
Yeah, no kidding. Where is that? I'm thumbing through the book now. Where do I find that?
You should be able to find it. I think it's around page 50 or so, 49 or 50.
All right, 49, 50. And here we are. Offbeat News 2018. You know your almanac well. Special delivery, a bird in the hand, I saw the sign. Yes, so I'm just kind of reading through the headlines on these. I'll have to steal some of this for my show later on. I have a box of these World Almanacs, the World Almanac and Book of Facts 2019, and I've got some to give away. So if you want a copy of it, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, two callers, 12, 13, 14. Let's hand out a few of the books that Sarah and her colleagues over there have put together. If folks do want to search online, look at a second screen, how do they do that, Sarah?
So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at World Almanac. You can also go to worldalmanac.com, where you'll find history of the World Almanac and some ordering information and be able to stay on top of everything that we're doing there.
Worldalmanac.com. Pick up, and I presume it's at bookstores everywhere, right?
Yep, you should be able to find it wherever books are sold, but also worldalmanac.com does have links to a bunch of different retailers if you can't easily find it in person elsewhere.
We're giving them away. We've got them here, and all the phone lines are ringing, so I'll hang up on you, Sarah, and talk to some of our listeners. But congratulations on another good effort. Really fun book.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you enjoy it, and I hope your contest winners do, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. That's Sarah Jansen. She's the editor at the World Almanac and Book of Facts 2019. That's the one you want for the new year. You're still thinking and talking about Ed Burke. 630 said about the Chicago alderman who's been charged with extortion by the FBI. He thought he was above the law, number one, and number two, this is not his first time. Well, he's been investigated before, but this one feels different to me. Maybe it's old school to you. 708 says, John, for sure this is the teeny, tiny tip of Mr. Burke's iceberg of corruption. I just can't imagine what it's like in the Burke house, because Ann Burke, I had such little contact with her, but she's, again, another 10-year member now of the Illinois Supreme Court. The Supreme Court for the state. And she's so involved in Special Olympics. She's such a measure of, you know, pleasantness and civility when I've talked to her. I know what her political views are, and she can be very strong and outspoken about them, but she's careful about them, too, because she's a justice, and that matters. And then there's Ed Burke, who just, those two things don't seem to go together. Never have in my mind. I can't imagine what it's like. And presumably, you know, that's your spouse of 50 years, so you say, well, we're going to beat this thing, and what would you say to your spouse if he was on the front page of the paper today? And does the fact that you're a Supreme Court justice change that? Like, well, you know, actually, honey, you're kind of screwed. This may be the end of our sharing a kitchen for a while. You know, I don't know how that's going to, I can't imagine what that is like. You must be supportive, I'm sure, but you must appreciate the gravity of it, too. That goes without saying.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Or I could say,
here's John Williams.
I got you 751 on the Dow. Hey, honey, the Dow's up 755 now. How about them apples? Happy birthday to you for that. I know that's how it works out. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio on social media. Look for me as WGN King John. Time for the news click. We asked you our daily web poll question yesterday, and I think it was about that ongoing conversation that we've been having, and we're not done having this, about genetic testing and the surprises people get when they get it. Producer Olive, what was yesterday's news click, please?
How would you feel if your 23andMe test contained a surprise about your siblings or parents?
Right.
A. I'd be horrified. I don't want to know. 13%.
Right.
B. I'd be shocked, but I'd want to know. 71%.
How about that, Violetta? 71% said, I still want to know.
C. Curiosity killed the cat.
C.
My brother doesn't look like any of us. Bring it. 16%.
Okay, so there's the range. I don't want to know. I want to know, but I got my eyes covered. And bring it on. Good or bad, I just want to hear the whole unwashed, unvarnished laundry. That's 16% of you. So actually, I'd be horrified. I don't want to know. I think that's where Violetta lives.
Yeah.
The smallest group. The largest is, I'd be shocked to find out I'm a half-sibling or that's not my father. And a lot of people find that out. You know, the thing is, if you want to find out about your, say, genetic predisposition to a disease or your ethnic background, go ahead and get it for you. But then when your siblings do, and then you all hit those buttons that say, okay, now let's compare, whew, maybe you ought to ask your folks or grandparents, hey, we're going to do this thing, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not into rocking the boat.
Yeah. How about when you're 95% sure that you're not, that you are their kids?
Well, yeah. Yeah, right. You look a lot like your brother and your mom.
Well, someone knows the truth somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there are some people who, maybe because of a slip of the tongue during a 4th of July drinking picnic, had some doubts planted, or maybe because they just don't look and sound like their siblings. I mean, you probably know somebody. In fact, I know you know somebody who you go, that's weird. They're brothers.
But also, if I am, I don't also, you're also ruining the other person's, or not ruining, you could potentially be ruining the other person's situation by coming to them, you know?
They may not want to know.
Right. So, you know, if you find like a long lost someone somewhere, and then they're like, I don't, why did you do this?
My understanding is, though, that you don't have access to that person unless they've also, it's like adoption services when the two want to find each other. Both parties have to agree that they will
right, if it was
share
an open
that
adoption
information.
Or not.
Yeah. So lots of texts about the government shutdown and the president's press conference was just ended. And the markets have zoomed up because yesterday we gave up, what was it, over 600 points yesterday, wasn't it? Because of the bad Apple news and trade concerns. But the jobs report for December were so fantastic that we've got that and then some. We've been close to 800. Right now we're at 717.03. So that's the good news for the day. The new news click at WGNradio.com is a different topic, though. Producer Elif, what's the new news click, please?
Longtime alderman Ed Burke has been charged by federal authorities with extortion, John. A. I'm shocked. B. I'm not.
All right. I think I know how that one's going to go down. I think the I'm not is, I'm not a betting man, but I like its chances. Let's just put it that way. Are you doing any traveling? Rick, is it Shawnee? Is the CEO of Fair Compare? Producer Elif just whispered in my ear, Sini. Hey, are you there, Rick?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Do you get that? Sini, Shawnee, it's spelled S-E-A-N-E-Y. Is that right?
Yeah, it's correct. It's Sini. I've been called a lot worse, though.
What kind of name is Sini? S-E-A-N-E-Y. I haven't seen that before.
It's kind of weird. It's a mixture of Irish and German and all amalgamated together over the years.
Yeah. So you think.
Maybe you should take one of those tests.
So I think, yeah, I was listening to the previous segment. So I'm shocked, but I don't really know. Want to know.
You're the CEO of Fair Compare. What does faircompare.com do?
Yeah, Fair Compare is a airfare shopping website. We don't actually sell tickets on the website, but we do shop for all the different sources of airfare directly on the airlines and on the online agencies as well. And we also have the world's largest database of airfare. So we do a bunch of work with our technical geeks to mine out what the best days to fly, the cheapest days to fly, when you should go, when you should buy, all sorts of tips and tricks like that.
USA Today today had an article featuring you the other day, and it described how if you want to travel, you should know what the best day of the week and time of the year is to buy the ticket. What are the general rules about that?
Yeah, so for domestic U.S. travel, the cheapest 3 days to fly and are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, with Wednesday actually being the actual cheapest. So if you're taking a trip, and even if you can break up half your trip and leave on one of those 3 days, you'll get at least half the benefit of the cheaper prices. If you're looking to go to Europe, for example, transatlantic Monday through Thursday are your cheapest days to fly. They have what's called midweek and weekend pricing, and weekend pricing typically anywhere from $40 to $80 more per round trip ticket.
Are tickets more expensive, say, flying out of Chicago in January and February because people want to get away from cold weather? Or is there any seasonality to ticket prices that way?
Yeah, sure. There is seasonality, but typically when it's cold, generally the prices are a little bit cheaper, especially January and February. Those are sort of the two cheapest months to fly. And that's mainly because kids are back in school and there's just less demand for airline tickets. People aren't traveling down to the Caribbean. They aren't traveling to beaches. They're not traveling as much. There's a handful of empty middle seats, and that means there's typically cheaper prices, especially on those cheaper days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday.
So are you saying that if I wanted to fly to San Diego or North Carolina or Miami before the 1st of March, rather than having bought the ticket last fall, I should wait till the 1st of the year? I should wait until about now and then buy it so that I'm traveling on a Wednesday? Is that correct?
Yeah, so actually departing on a Wednesday or returning on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. So the three most expensive days are Monday, Friday, and Sunday. Monday, because all business travelers are leaving to go consult wherever they're consulting across the nation. Friday, when they come back, and Thursday afternoon when they come back. And then Sunday, everybody wants to extend their trip to Sunday evening, especially if they're taking a weekend trip. So and the airlines know this, and they see all that demand, and they charge accordingly. So they'll charge more for those particular days. It's much slower on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. Some empty middle seats. The airline's automated systems automatically kick in cheaper prices when they sense weakness in demand, and that's when you see those cheaper prices. So you can actually buy your ticket a little bit too early. So if you're buying your ticket 6 months out, for example, that's way too early to buy a domestic ticket. You want to start shopping about 3 months ahead of time. That's when the airlines start kicking in and start throwing in some of the cheaper seats. So if you're buying your ticket outside of 3 months, you're paying maybe the fifth, sixth, or seventh cheapest price. But they start probing around 3 months and dumping in some of the cheap stuff just to test to see if historically the same sort of sales are happening as they did last year.
Right.
And if you're buying inside of 30 days, you're playing right into the airline's hands because they have 30-day, 21-day, 14-day, and 7-day advance purchase airfares. They get progressively more expensive. And if you're buying inside of 14 days, the airlines are going to treat you like your boss is buying your ticket, and they're going to charge you 2 to 3 times more. That's so what they call business traveler rates or last minute tickets.
So the 60 days between 3 months out and 1 month out, that that is the sweet spot for domestic travel.
Exactly, and it's a little bit lengthier if you're going transatlantic. People tend to shop a little earlier because the tickets are more expensive. So that window is around 5 months when they start to drop in some of the cheaper stuff for transatlantic travel.
And does it matter the day of the week that you buy the ticket? Does it ever matter when you're purchasing the ticket, these guidelines notwithstanding, Monday through Friday, there's no... Because I'm thinking about availability. Maybe that affects the price. But it doesn't really matter, right, which day of the week you purchase a ticket?
It does to some degree. So just generally, every route is different, and everyone has more or less competition, and so the airlines manage everything at the route. So Amsterdam may be way cheaper than, for example, Rome, for example. So it's hard to say on a particular day. But if you're looking for a sale fare, generally what happens the way sale fares are filed is the marketers at the airline come to work on Monday. They set up their radio campaigns, set up their media buys. They file the airfares late Monday night, and then they hit the system in the morning around 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And then the other airlines actually don't get to see their prices until they hit the system, so then they start matching Tuesday afternoon. So typically Tuesday to Thursday, if you're looking for a sale fare, is the best time to shop.
All right, so if I wanted to fly to South Carolina and get away from the cold, I'm going to buy it on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, sometime after Tuesday at 10 a.m., and I'm going to make that purchase 3 months out, but not as close as 30 days before I travel. No, but I mean, I think I can get my head around that. This all makes sense. And by the
way,
he tracks these things on his website. Rick Cini's on a phone line, the CEO of FareCompare.com, and I'll post this as well on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. Are those sale days, Tuesday through Thursday, applicable for international travel as well?
They are. It's mostly for domestic, but just generally airfare sales are filed when the marketers are ready to file them, and then they can put out emails and a variety of other stuff. And they don't tend to like to do that on the weekends because they like to be out playing soccer with their kids on the weekends. So just generally it happens on Monday and Tuesday, and that's when and a lot of times there's a lot of people shopping on Tuesday as well historically, because they come in, most people come to work on a Monday, get a lot of their work done,
right,
and then they get a little bit of free time to shop on Tuesday when boss isn't looking. So there's also a historical marketing reason for doing it on Tuesday as well.
Okay, we have lots of texts, 312-981-7200. You can text your question to 312-981-7200 or call that number, and we'll put you on the radio. You can interact with Rick Cini yourself. The questions we'll ask him to respond to include, what about holidays and spring break? What happens then? And does the purchase equation change? What about Hawaii, says 773? And about 23andMe and connecting with siblings or half-siblings via that. John, I found my half-sister November 6th through 23andMe. She died December 23rd. I am so thankful I got to know her. Okay, lots of texts about travel. Our guest will answer them. You can be on the line. Rick Cini is the CEO of a company that doesn't sell you travel tickets, but it'll tell you when the best time to buy them is. And where. It's called FareCompare.com. You're really missing the boat there, Rick. You got to sell tickets. That's where the money is to be made, right?
Well, we do get a little advertising revenue from the site, but you'll end up either on one of the airline sites, American, Delta, United, for example, or you'll end up in an online travel agency site. So comparison shopping is the best way to shop for air travel. Generally, if you're going to individual airline websites, you're not seeing the full market.
Well, what about that, though? So you've been telling us strategies for when to buy tickets for domestic and international travel. Is it generally the same rule of thumb that you've described for all of the airlines, or is Southwest different than American, say?
They pretty much all match each other. You have four airlines domestically that control 82% of traffic in the United States. That's American, Delta, United, and Southwest. and they monitor each other very closely. So none of them can afford to be $1 more than their competitor, because if they are, they're on page 15 of shopping results.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as one of them drops their price, the other one, it has to match within a certain amount of time. Typically, that either takes overnight or during the day, they probably match within 4 or 5 hours, depending on when they load their fares.
I understand that, but then
just generally, they're matching each other, yeah.
Is your advice then, too, if you don't like the number you see today, go back tomorrow? Are the prices that fluid?
They are super fluid. I mean, you have, in theory, every time you make a query for an airline price, the inventory system could give you a different amount. There's literally millions of airfare changes that can happen each day as well. But you don't want to do that if you're inside 30 days. You want to make sure you shop a little early. So if you don't like the price, you have some extra time within that sort of two-month window between 3 months before departure and 1 month before departure. You don't really want to get inside that one-month mark. That's when airlines really know what you're doing. So, for example, on spring break, every airline knows every spring break of every school district in the United States, and they raise their prices accordingly on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday leaving, and Saturday and Sunday returning, bracketing spring break. But if you were to cut your trip down to leaving on a Tuesday, coming back on a Saturday and Sunday, typically you can save 20 to 40% just by staying 5 nights instead of 6 or 7 nights, for example.
Here's some specific questions from our listeners. Be as brief with your answer as you can. Hey, John, I'm going to Cancun in July for a wedding. When's the best time to buy a ticket flying from Chicago?
Start shopping in late February. That's the best time to shop for that trip.
Best way to get guaranteed seats together.
Yeah, it's difficult to do in some cases. So sometimes you may want to split tickets. I'll give you a little bit longer answer. There's a glitch or a feature in the reservation systems of all airlines. Everybody has to be at the same price, even if you have a party of four and there's three cheaper seats. So the tip is shop for one, shop for four. If you see a difference on the same flight, split your ticket purchase so you get some of the cheaper seats and not get everybody lifted up. And in that case, if you have to split your purchase, you do have to hit the 24-hour mark. So if you don't want to prepay to get your seat assignment, and many people do prepay for that, there's a fee for that. But at 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds, if you make sure you make that, you request your seats at that point, you'll be likely to get your seats together as a family.
John, what about Hawaii? Do any of the rules change when folks are leaving from Chicago to Hawaii?
It doesn't change that much. They do have seasons in Hawaii. The most expensive season is Christmas time. So the last 2 weeks of December and the first week of January is the most expensive. There's some times in the summer, early summer, when kids get out of school initially, where the prices are a bit higher. But later in the summer, when kids start to go back to school, late August, great time to go. And then if you can go in January and February, before excluding President's Day weekend, which is in mid-February, you'll also find some good deals in there as well.
Okay, so right now is a good time to, I'm confused now, is right now a good time to go or a good time to buy a ticket? Maybe both, huh?
Yeah, both, actually, in this case. So if you're shopping for outside of spring break and before the first few weeks of summer, which is the first couple weeks in June, perfect time to start shopping for Hawaii. You're right in that three-month window for sort of late March, April purchases. Just know that if it's your spring break weekend in your city, you can be rest assured that there will be no good deals. There's only better bad deals on that particular occasion.
But if I navigated around spring break, and spring break doesn't happen in January and February,
you're perfect. Perfect time to fly right now.
But you must appreciate how apprehensive that would make somebody. If my family is going to, I'm going to take vacation time and we're going to save a few thousand dollars and we're going to fly to Hawaii and do the big Hawaii trip from Chicago, putting it off until 45 days before we fly would give me anxiety at night. I would rather have this, you know, paid for 6 months in advance. But you're telling me that I'm a fool if I do that because I'm just going to overpay, right?
Just generally, if you buy inside of 30 days, you're going to end up overpaying for your ticket. Now, there are cases when price goes down a bit. But if you're buying inside of 30 days, you're playing right into the airline.
I know that, but suppose I wait 45 days or 50 days or 60
that's
days.
That's not bad.
But that's...
Yeah,
but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'll quit making the point, but it's just like, I don't know how people plan their vacations, but I would imagine they like to have some of these details nailed down more than, 50 days before they fly. And you're saying, Mom, Dad, relax. The planes will be there. Don't buy your ticket until 2 months before you go, or 45 or 50 days before you go, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. We actually take in over a billion searches worldwide and watch those for the last 3 or 4 years and know everything there is to know about the behavior of all those shopping requests. And you know, there are times when, a few times when the price will get slightly cheaper at the last minute, very rarely. So, you know, if you're willing to be in the 90 to 95% range to wait and you feel like that's the case. Now, on the flip side, I don't have a problem with people buying their tickets early if they're uncomfortable and all they are really going to save is $20 or $30, and they'd rather, you know, have that peace of mind. But when you have hundreds of dollars, in some cases, especially on Hawaii trips and European trips, you definitely want to shop at the right time.
This listener from 224 says, how do I get cheap tickets to Asia on short notice, like flying next week? Thanks.
It's difficult to do. So Asia is kind of an interesting market because it's not really a tourist destination market. It's mostly business travel into Asia. And a lot of the flights are nonstop out of the West Coast. There are a few flights from sort of Dallas, Chicago, for example. But if you're going into Asia, the prices don't fluctuate as much. The seasons don't fluctuate as much. At the last minute, just generally at the last minute, the best way to get an expensive ticket like that is to use your miles or to barter with a friend that has miles. That's the best way to do it. If you're going at the last minute, also look at packages. So especially at the last minute when ticket prices, and you're looking at a coach ticket to Asia and it's $1,600 or $1,800, if you look at a package, you could do air and hotel where they pre-negotiate the rates. Maybe it's $1,400, for example, for the air and the hotel. Even if you want to toss the hotel because you don't need it, it'll be cheaper than the air in some cases.
Pat, real quick, what was your question? Where are you going? What can we do for you?
Hi. If you are going on an international trip with an organized tour company, is it better to buy your airline ticket yourself or have the tour company buy it?
It depends. Some tour companies that are really large can have negotiated discount fares in some cases for their groups. That's sort of group buying power. Many of them don't. Definitely what you want to do is you want to know what the public price is for that trip so that when they do say, hey, by the way, we're buying that ticket for you, it's $900 or $1,100, and you can come back and say, well, the public marketplace is only $600 for that ticket right now. So you do want to be able to negotiate a bit with them.
We're out of time. Thanks for the call, Pat. Thanks for all the texts. You got to come back on with us. Lots of calls, lots of texts, and you've got good information, Rick Cini. I appreciate you helping us out today.
Great. Thank you.
The website, one more time, is faircompare.com. Faircompare.com. Rick, I just want to plow through a boatload of texts that have come in on a variety of subjects today. The two that we maybe have received the most, although we did get a lot about air travel dates from our guest, and again, his website is faircompare.com. They look at billions of sites, and he told me off the air they have proprietary software that's about to launch, and that is you'll type in when and where you want to go, from where, and they will tell you historically the best rate and the best anticipated rate. I think that's how it'll work. But the texts are mostly along these lines. John, under Obama, there was a 16-day government shutdown. Does anyone mention that? Hey, John, this isn't the first government shutdown. What did the workers do the last time this happened? Why don't people feel sorry for other workers who got laid off? John, the current NAFTA deal stands until Congress ratifies the new treaty. So we have nothing new now except we are paying for the wall. John, what's the big deal about Ed Burke having guns until he is a felon? That's his right. 773 says Ed Burke is the political version of the Me Too movement. Everyone suspected wrongdoing but never said anything until now. John, the Burke allegation seems like the mosquito in the room compared to the elephant that is Donald Trump. John, how do we really know what the NAFTA deal is and what it will bring us to be able to tell if Trump is even telling an accurate thing? And 312 says, God bless President Trump for standing firm. I don't want to see any other cops or any of our other citizens killed anymore. John from 773, does anyone know the cost to taxpayers for security for Burke for 50 years? I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much. And about Donald Trump, this one says, if Violetta Podramedic knows how Trump is as a landlord, you are paying her too much. no, we're paying her not enough. Oh, we're paying her too much because that means she's staying at Trump Tower and she's really doing well.
Yeah, I guess I was just assuming. He seems like a tough guy. I mean, I watch him on TV fire people every week.
Just for your reference, when asked at the press conference, what does he say to the people who have rent payments or mortgage payments due? Trump said, well, I think that landlords, you know, will work with them. That's what landlords do. I think that's a good open phone topic we'll explore next week. If you're on either end of that equation, if you've missed in the past for whatever reason, or if you're going to miss a payday right now, what happens when you call the car payment people, the mortgage people, the Visa card people and say, hey, I'm on a bind here? Maybe they do work with you. Maybe they do understand, especially if it's not just you being a bum, but it's no fault of your own, right? The federal government shut down. They didn't send you a paycheck. How open are they to helping you out? I don't know the answer to that question. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully that'll be a moot point real quick. All right, in 3, 2, 1, hit it!
That damn helium balloon from last year still refuses to pop.
I like this.
They asked you what the plan was.
240 on WGN, and the Dow is up 705 points, plus 705 on the Dow, by the way.
She's hungry to distraction. I is better.
Fridays at this time, we bring you some fun things to do over the weekend. What are we listening to here, Elif Garris?
Omi, who plays a DJ set tonight as part of the Anchor Magazine second anniversary showcase, alongside four other artist sets.
Omi is a DJ?
No, they're a girl band, but I tried to find a DJ set example of them. This obviously is not it.
This is really good, though.
I know.
Totally dig this. So is this what they generally sound like?
Mm-hmm.
Omi. O-M-M-E-E. Omi?
Close. There's an H. O-H-M-M-E.
Omi. And where are they playing tonight? Metro?
Shubas.
Shubas. So they're playing over at Shubas. All right. So let's keep rolling the music and Violetta Podramatic. Give me something else to do this weekend.
Well, it's the last chance to go to Navy Pier to see the Winter Wonder Fest. That's an indoor family fun experience. It's got rides, festive decor, ice skating. It's all just $26 for adults and $12 for kids. And it's the last weekend.
Stranger Than Fiction, a documentary film fest with director discussions, is at the Gene Siskel Film Center through the end of the month. Showing times, go to siskelfilmcenter.org.
It's a Wonderful Life is playing at Stage 773. That ends tonight, showing at 7:30. Tickets are starting at about $19, and you can find them at AmericanBluesTheater.com.
Speaking of things, holidays you want to do right now or you're not going to get it done, the Christmas Around the World and Holidays of Light exhibit that they've had at the Museum of Science and Industry ends on Sunday. I haven't been. I hear that's pretty good.
You
would be
there
till 5:30 today. Your family's done
that. Yeah, it's been a family tradition when we were younger. They just have trees from all around the world, and I don't think all around the world decorates trees, but they still put different cultural things that relate to the countries.
Through Sunday at the Museum of Science and Industry. What else you got?
Alkaline Trios playing at Metro tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. Tickets are about $42 online at MetroChicago.com.
Fiddler on the Roofs at the Cadillac Theater in Chicago tomorrow night at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2. That'll be the final showing. If you thought you wanted to see it, you haven't seen it. You got until Sunday at 2. BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets.
So there's a holiday flower show at Lincoln Park Conservatory that is also ending this weekend. It's called Tickled Pink, and it features a sugar plum dream display of pink poinsettias. What are they called? Poinsettias, right?
Some people say poinsettias, but I say poinsettias.
I say poinsettias. And I love poinsettias other than that they're red, and I hate the color red. So the fact that these are pink are pretty interesting, and there's going to be a rosy illumination all over the trees. That is open and free from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. all weekend long, and it's your last chance to see the festive kind of lights in there, and apparently this has been going on for 110 years, which I did not know that.
How about them apples? They have a troll hunt tomorrow. Hunt for the troll at the Morton Arboretum. It's free to do this with your entry to the Morton Arboretum. They do that tomorrow and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Troll around and find the troll at the Morton Arboretum.
That's fun. There's snow trekking going on at Northerly Island on Sunday. That is weather permitting on the snow part.
Yeah, there is no snow on Northerly Island.
Yeah, but you can still go there and see nature, and they're going to be going on tours looking at different types of birds, and it's a way to see the city in a whole new light, see the skyline. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's $5 to get in. It's for all ages, and from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
One more from me. I think this is supposed to be a snow event, but it won't be in St. Charles at the Creek Bend Nature Center. You can trek with a naturalist tomorrow morning from 9 in the morning to 11 in the morning. Details are at caneforest.com. Caneforest.com. Trek with a naturalist.
It's a trekking season, apparently. This weekend begins the trekking.
Typically, there might be enough snow on the ground to make that sort of interesting. And folks are like, they're done eating. So they're like, okay.
Yeah, we got to get out.
Give
move.
Me some boots.
But there's a lot of games going on.
Yep. Oh, here they go. Bulls play the Pacers at the United Center tonight at 7. By the way, they're giving away Bulls gloves and fleeces tonight. The pregame show for the Blackhawks Monday on WGN Radio starts at 7. The Blackhawks are at the Pittsburgh Penguins at 7:30 tonight. Is that tonight? And the Bears play, I should know that, the Bears play the Philadelphia Eagles at Soldier Field. That's the game everybody's talking about, Sunday at 3:40. Okay, those are some of our fun things to do. Have a great weekend. Let's find out what your bright side is. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Tell us some good news in your world, something that's making you smile, big or small. The bright side is next. More texts continue to pour in. Hey, John, border security. When 5 to 10 million people are in a country illegally, 5 to 10 million, and one party says drastic large-scale measures have to be taken sooner rather than later, and one party says no, lesser measures are good enough, which sounds more realistic to you? And from 312, hey, John, maybe government workers should expect further government shutdowns and start saving? Just saying. Yeah, maybe some of them have. This is our bright side, though.
Some things in life are bad.
Give me a smile.
They can really make you mad.
Tell me something that's good in your world.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
312-981.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
7200.
Grumble. Give a whistle.
You got to text me now.
And this'll help things turn out for
Violetta Padromedic is sitting here, and she said, we don't have our normal big batch of texts, so...
Always look
it's
on
a new year.
The bright side of life.
Our bright side's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Thank you, JRI.
Always look on the light side of life.
All right, we're starting with
if
the call
life seems
this time.
Jolly rotten,
Carol, you go first. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Carol?
Hey, John, is that me?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Sorry, John. It must be me. Hey, John, number one, I want to say Happy New Year to you all, your crew. And thank you for playing a little slice of Dougie McLean's version of Auld Lang Syne.
Wasn't that
but my
nice?
Bright side is I'm going to get on my bicycle with the near 50 weather tomorrow in Brooks. Bike from Brookfield Zoo out to Oakbrook and back.
Oh.
It's going to be great.
Good for you. You know, you could right now. Doesn't this make you want to get out on your bicycle? If you got one for Christmas, better that than ice skates this year. Wow, that's great. Thanks for the call, Carl. Here we go now. Everybody sing. What's your bright side, Violetta Padromedic?
My bright side is that I got through that Blindfold movie. And I went to sleep. Yeah, and I went to sleep last night.
Was it as terrifying as people say?
Yeah, I'm a scaredy cat. I thought it was bad. But it's not gory, so it's okay.
It looks like such a ripoff of The Quiet Place to me.
Well, it was a book, and it was out before The Quiet Place, so...
Fair enough. So, pretty good, though, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Are you inclined to do the stupid challenge now?
No, I don't like... No.
I don't understand that. I do not understand that. You know, somebody should...
I don't even like doing Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
All right, here we go. Read some for us. What are we reading?
Oh, well, 847 left work a little early today to surprise her family with a home-cooked meal. And then we have 630 just found out her daughter is pregnant with triplets, and it's her first grandchild coming in a package of three.
This is Matt. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Matt? You're on the air.
Happy New Year, King John, and everybody else. I'm happy, even though I love Brian Noonan, that Rowe and Anna are back on Monday.
Woo-hoo.
Enjoy.
Brian's doing a great job. He can do any show really well here, and I enjoy listening to Brian, too. But I understand that. I'm anxious for Steve Bertrand to get back in the saddle, and I think Eric Rung's terrific, but I think we all just kind of want to get back into the groove.
Our flow.
We have the best other players at this radio station. Jenny, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? You're on the air. Hi, Jenny. Come on, Jenny. Jenny. Or is it Emily? Jenny or Emily? Oh, this is too bad. Are you there? Hello?
Well, 630 just got new tires for his wife's car.
And speaking of that, Emily just got her driver's license, and they're very excited about that. Maybe the parents more than the kid.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Hey, Bert, what's good news in your world? You're on WGN.
Yeah, good. Happy New Year, King John.
Yes, sir.
My great news is I'm on my way home from work for the final time. I retired and left work about 2 o'clock this afternoon, so I'm ready to start the new chapter in my life.
Stay in touch, Bert. Happy days to you.
Thank you.
Enjoy. It's your last chance.
847 is headed to hit some golf balls on the range, and it's January.
How about them apples? You like apples? Go hit some golf balls. Hey, Debbie, you're on WGN. How are you?
Great, John. My slice of life is my son-in-law was in the hospital for 17 and a half days through Christmas, and he's home and doing great.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear the bad news, but it's good news now, right?
Yes, it's good. He's on the mend.
All right, Debbie, thanks for the call. What do you got, girl?
Well, someone's going on a motorcycle ride at 815, and then 847 just paid off their car. They got their title in the mail today.
That's a raise of about a few hundred dollars every month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Jerry?
John, first of all, Happy New Year to you and your family.
You betcha.
And the next thing is, on Christmas Day, my daughter gave birth to triplets, three boys. But the family's a little upset with me because I wanted her to call him Hard Rock Coco and Joe. But the last thing before I hang up, did Mayor Rahm Emanuel ever get his phone fixed and call you back?
No, he has not called me back yet.
Don't hold your breath, John.
All right, Violetta, your turn.
Well, 815 says that my surrogate and my best friend is 8 weeks pregnant with my baby. We've been trying for years.
Wow, wow. On line 8, it's your turn, Jim. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hey, King John, it's 2019, and the Stones return to U.S. in 2019.
Have fun, Jim. Go to the show. Call us. Bring us along. Rebecca, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Rebecca?
Smiling because the Colin Delia is really proving himself as a Blackhawk.
You're a Blackhawk fan, aren't you?
I'm a diehard Blackhawk fan and a season ticket holder for the Rockford Ice Dogs.
Thanks for the call.
Always look on the rise.
All right, Violetta.
309, I met a guy. He's wonderful. I'm 70 years old.
Life is quite absurd, and death's the final word.
Isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
You've got a long ways to go, folks, and isn't it nice that you can find love even late in life? How about you, Debbie? You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Debbie?
Hey, John. My husband has a type of leukemia, and his neutrophils were as low as 0.1. Now they were at 2.0.
Woohoo!
Always look on the right side of life.
How about, looks like Brayer. I think the name is Brayer. Brayer, is that you? You're on the air.
That's me, huh, John? Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started my New Year's in London, England with 170 marching band members from Downers Grove North High School who just put on a fabulous performance and represented our country with such class and pride. It puts a smile on my face.
Oh, yeah, I'm putting a smile on ours. Congratulations to you and to them. Thanks.
All
right, Violetta.
Well, tomorrow, 847 is going to see her son try to PR-15 at a pole vault competition in Champaign.
Oh, go for a personal record 15-foot pole vault? Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant. I thought that was pole vault lingo.
Well, PR is personal record, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. Huh?
That is Have you ever tried to pole vault?
Is it 15 feet or it can't be 15 inches, right?
Yeah, it's not 15 inches. It's not 15 yards. It's 15 feet. Let's go to Mary. You're on GN. Mary. Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I got my Blackhawks tickets from your Red Kettle donations.
Oh, that's right.
I'm Mary with the knee. Oh. Who knows Dr. Hannah?
Well, this is the lady. Congratulations. I'm glad you're going to the game. We said if you give $1,000 online to our Salvation Army kettle, that David Hochberg will give you tickets to the Blackhawks suite, a couple of sweet tickets. And Mary is one of them. Mary, thank you so much for that. All right, we're out of time. Any last thing from you, Viola?
I got one last one. 630 says 50 days until the first spring training game in Mesa.
Mesa.
A countdown.
You're not real up on the sports lingo and pronunciations today, are you? By the way, I was thinking about that. Not only is baseball closer when you turn the corner, but every day we pick up another minute of daylight, and that always makes me feel good.
The sun is shining.
We do The Bright Side on Fridays at this time. We'll head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and get the stories that matter. Plus, say hi to Brian Noonan in just a minute. By the way, Violetta, you've been answering the phones in there. What's your bright side?
I learned most of Bohemian Rhapsody on piano, and it's easier than you think.
So can you play that for us sometime?
When I've mastered it. Not yet.
You are practicing Bohemian Rhapsody on the keyboard.
Yeah.
Do you play regularly, or are you just learning this song?
No, I've always played piano.
Okay.
How did I not know that about you?
I've told you so many times.
How did I not remember that about
you? That's wonderful.
That's great.
No, I don't expect you to know everything about
me. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
See, yeah. He does a really good air piano.
Brian Noonan's getting ready for a good show. What's coming up, Brian Noonan?
Hi, John. Well, mayoral candidate Bob Fioretti is going to be with us at 3:40, commenting not only on Alderman Ed Burke, but on the alleged $10,000 that was contributed to Tony Preckwinkle's campaign that he claims may have helped her beat him in the primary for Cook County Board President.
And the charges that she hasn't given all of that money back.
Correct. Yes, it depends on who you're talking to. It either all went back and then some was re-donated, or it didn't all go back at one time. So there's a lot of questions. Hopefully we'll get a couple of answers. Then, of course, it's Friday, so the Knarble wagon will roll.
Do you get to roll the Knarble wagon?
Of course. That's why do you think I come in for Ronan on Fridays?
I would pull a double for that thing.
Exactly.
That is a real nice liquor cart.
Oh, it's a beautiful piece of furniture.
With top shelf stuff. When you hear that on the radio and you think that's theater, it's happening.
Yes.
It's delicious.
Yes, Walter E. Smith, we thank them for putting that all together. Because, they put it all up. Well, have a good weekend, John. It is always a pleasure to talk to you.
We'll be listening to Brian Luna. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, sir.